Welcome to another exciting episode of Web of Music here on the Spidey Dude Radio Network. Tonight we are covering The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and the music in this film was done by Hans Zimmer and the Magnificent Six, which is funny to think about, as when I think of the Magnificent Six, I thought it was an homage, to the Sinister Six, which, if you saw The Amazing Spider-Man 2, is definitely built up in this movie, but the payoff, unfortunately, is executed due to a bunch of problems at Sony, which leads to Captain America: Civil War in the MCU being the first Marvel Universe appearance of Spider-Man in that franchise, and this being the final film of Andrew Garfield until we get to No Way Home. But I digress, and we will get there, as I will have guests for that coming up. But joining me once again for this episode is, please introduce yourself.
Hey everyone, it's Ryan Laney. I am the lead singer and founding member of the gothic rock band Our Frankenstein, and I'm happy to be back here for the second episode.
And you can listen to his music over on their website or their Spinatron or anywhere they happen to have their music. But also, don't forget, I will be playing their music on the Radio Horror Show as well. So stay tuned for that. But again, today we're going to talk about the music by Hans Zimmer and a little bit about who Hans Zimmer was. He was not the composer for The Amazing Spider-Man. This is this is a different composer than the last movie. But Hans Zimmer obviously is no slouch to superhero films.
Yeah. In the last film, we actually had James Horner do the soundtrack, and he was not asked back this time around.
No, I wonder why.
I can't say, but it's a very interesting difference, at least in the compositions, where I found like in the last film, James was like, at least to me, I always felt like he was focused a lot more on textures, as opposed to like grandiose, like orchestral, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like really, you know, grand scores, but as opposed to, I mean, which he did have, but I think, you know, with this film, there's a lot more like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like traditional sounding, like orchestral. Yeah, I'm losing my thought there, my thought process there, but it seems a lot more grand in this film, and we have a lot more contemporary songs that come out from that time period as well.
Right, and also Hans Zimmer, about 2 years ago when The Amazing Spider-Man was in theaters, he was wrapping up his trilogy of Batman scores for the Dark Knight trilogy.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. So while Amazing Spider-Man was happening, and then of course when The Amazing Spider-Man was out, and the Dark Knight came out a few months later. The Dark Knight Rises, excuse me, he probably got snatched up by Sony to do The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And let me tell you, the entire album, the exception of a couple songs, mostly obviously by like Alicia Keys and The Neighborhood by Honest and Feral Will Hanks here, most of the music sounds like something I would hear at a gothic techno nightclub, it seems like.
Yeah, it's funny because I was rewatching the film yesterday, and I had a performance later that night, and I was there. I was like, you know, the music I was listening to earlier would fit perfectly in the atmosphere of the nightclub, which, you know, was a really kind of like interesting thing. It's like, oh, we could play Spider-Man in here in the nightclub.
Now, at the beginning of the episode, you heard a we opened the episode of Web of Music with the electro music, which I actually always kind of really liked. And I know it annoyed some people. And, of course, Electro does his own rendition of the Itsy Bitsy Spider song later on in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I think is hilarious. I mean, let's also face it. Electro is the only villain to come out of this film to carry over into the MCU's multiverse.
Yeah, and thank God they fixed his design.
Yes. I hated I'm gonna get it right there. I think Jamie Foxx is an incredible actor, but this was the worst casting ever. Electro in the comic books, for anyone who is not familiar with who he is, there is two, by the way. There's Electro and Elektra, not to be confused with the Daredevil villain. There's a female Electro that Max was banging and he electrocutes and brings her back to life, and somehow his power is transferred to her, and she becomes Elektra. And she doesn't, and she even points out she doesn't care if it's the name of some high-end assassin for the Kingpin, which, FYI, Elektra has not been a high-end assassin for the Kingpin since the Frank Miller run, and she, by the way, is currently now female Daredevil. But I digress. The red and green, the, sorry, the art, the yellow and green costume was sadly missed in this movie, but I think they were taking cues from the Ultimate Spider-Man, which had Electro in the more blue, kind of scarred up face looking, glowy look. And then, yeah, over in No Way Home, he does get his yellow and green. But honestly, Max Dillon, who's Electro, is just a electrical repairman who gets powers and then decides to become a supervillain. This is the plot line to the Riddler from Batman Forever with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, it's pretty close, and it's pretty surprising. There was probably zero government regulation on anything where the where he got his powers. I remember rewatching that scene, and I'm just looking at the whole facility he's operating in, and I'm like, there is no safety protocol in this place at all. We just have open wires and a tank with some eels in it. Just screw it. We're just gonna go all out and not even worry about anything safety-wise.
Now, Spider-Man 2, amazing, sorry, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, there is Spider-Man 2. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 has two different soundtrack releases. One is a soundtrack and score, and the other one is also a soundtrack and score. One has 32 tracks on it, and then the other one has 20. And the only thing that's really expanded upon is the Hans Zimmer music. So you get the full orchestra music in it. One came with a silver box that's a little bigger than a CD case, made of paper or cardboard, and it's a metallic lightning bolt across the Spider-Man logo. You unfold it, and it looks very similar to the Blu-ray magnetic case that came out for The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I don't know if you ever saw that. You basically the there was kind of like magnets in the case to keep the case together.
Oh no, I don't know if I remember that when that came out.
Yeah, the inside of this is exactly like that. It has Spider-Man on one flap, Spider-Man and Electro on another flap, where he's wearing his blue collared costume that he gets at Ravencroft, by the way. Ravencroft is the criminally insane institute that Carnage, obviously, is a resident of in Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And then he's got the hoodie look, which is when he's first stumbles out of the lab with his powers, and they start going haywire, and him, Spider-Man, and the fire department have to take him down, and he can't remember Max's name, which does not help the situation. I digress. So yeah, it's very similar to that. And then, like I said, the difference in the tracks, I'm gonna go over them right now. Play one another music cue right here. On the CD with the crystal case versus the CD which is the collector's edition, I just want to call it. Both tracks are similar up to, so I'm Electro, There He Is, I'm Spider-Man, which is really great. That's when Spider-Man's swooping in to stop the Rhino. I love that opening sequence with him trying to stop the Rhino. That's so cool. And I do love the music played, that really harmonic music played when he's helping the kid with the science project. And that kid later on is the one who puts on the Spider-Man costume to confront the Rhino.
Yeah, no, I thought that was an interesting little connection there.
Yeah, so we have Ground Rules, Look at Me, Special Project. Okay, so Special Project is not on the Jewel Case original edition. Then we have So Much Anger on both. I'm Moving to England is on the collector's edition. I'm Goblin, not I'm the Goblin, but I'm Goblin is on the collector's edition, which, FYI, I am not a fan of this Green Goblin. I think Dale DeHaan is a great actor. Go watch the Metallica movie he's in. I think it's really great, but overall, I like this relationship between him and Harry for like 5 minutes. It just they didn't do very well. Good stuff with him.
I could not stop myself from laughing at the scene where he's like, "You got your braces off. Well, it distracts, nothing distracts you from your unibrow." And I just couldn't stop from laughing. It's just like, this is their friendship. It's
Let
like,
her
oh
go.
yeah, the boys are back. It's, I don't know. I didn't, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they also didn't build up a relationship between him and Peter. He just shows back up, and Peter's like, got some long lost friend we never saw in the previous film. And the only reason we know who Harry Osborn was is because he was James Franco in the last three films. So,
Yeah.
anyway.
I didn't feel any connection though between the
Right,
two characters.
and then it's funny because in the next three films, who's Peter's best friend? Ned Leeds, who would in the comic books get brainwashed into becoming the Hobgoblin.
Yeah. Yeah, I
Anyway,
really, yeah.
so Sum Total, that's also new. No, sorry, that's also on here. We're Best Friends, that's on here. Still Crazy, that's the track. Still Crazy, that's new. The Rest of My Life, that's new. And You're That Spider Guy is the same on both. Then we go over to the Hans Zimmer CD2. It's the Electro Suite, Harry Suite. How do you pronounce it? Suite?
Sweet. Yeah, that's gonna be sweet.
It is sweet. Okay. Cold War, which is kind of interesting, and No Place Like Home. And then we get all the tracks with the bands like Alicia Keys, Photos, Phosphorescent, Feral,
Pharrell.
The Neighborhood. Oh, so a new one on here is Cesarion Russell, Within the Web, First Day Jam, Total Live by The Edge, and then we get the last track on both, which is the same, Alan Risk and Hans Zimmer for the Electro Remix, which is just a longer version of Electro's music from when he's Max Dillon bumbling around the streets to becoming Electro with that wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
So what I could find about Liz, and I think this is the band, it's a Canadian band. They don't have a lot of hits. I don't have a lot of other information about them. That's one thing. And I think we all are very familiar with who Alicia Keys is.
Absolutely. And she has, I didn't hear, yeah, she has Kendrick Lamar with her on that as well.
Okay, now who's Kendrick Lamar? I'm not familiar with him.
He's a rapper.
Okay, that's
He's
probably
a
why.
programmer. Yeah.
When we
Yeah.
get to the Miles Morales films, I'm gonna have this problem too.
Yeah, there's a lot of rap there.
I do like some of the Miles Morales music in that, but there's a lot of it I don't subscribe to. And that's not saying it's bad, it's just not my cup of tea. So we have The Neighborhood, and they're a rock band and an alternative rock band from Newbury Park, California. Drummer Brandon Freed was part of the band from 2014 to 2022. They look like they're still in business. Yeah, they're still active as of 2011, so.
Oh yeah. If I'm not mistaken, this is a band that my girlfriend is a pretty big fan of as well. Oh, it's just not a type of music that I typically always listen to. I guess it's kind of like the reverse with the hip hop for you. So I'm not super familiar with them, but I definitely remember their name being thrown around a whole lot. But I'm sorry, you were saying?
One of the lyrics on here, their music video is like a comic book. I'm gonna bring it up right
Oh,
now
nice.
and play it. Yeah, I think it's Liz. Give me one quick second. I'm bringing it up right now.
Yeah.
Do you have the CD, by the way? Do you have those liner notes in the CD?
I don't have the physical CD, but I
Okay,
do
I
have.
will read the I'm gonna read the liner notes that are in the CD. They're the same for both of them. Well, the opening is the same for both of them, let's just say. Song for Zulu by Phosphorescent is pretty cool. That's Honest by The Neighborhood.
Yes.
Hold on. Yeah, it's blank because I can't get the CD to cooperate on my computer. Oof. The Phosphorescent song for Zulu, it was in the comment section on YouTube. Someone says, this is the song my daughter recommended me listen to when I found her suicide note.
Oh, wow.
Jesus Christ. All
That's
right, let's
super.
by the way, the director of The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was Mark Webb.
Oh, what a suiting last name.
Yeah, he directed The Amazing Spider-Man 2. He's director of Snow White coming up soon.
Oh, with what's her name? Can't think of her name off the top of my head. But she was just in those last Hunger Game films.
Right. By the way, did you know that Mary Jane was supposed to be in The Amazing Spider-Man 2?
That would have been interesting. I had no
Yeah,
idea.
the actress from what's that? The Fault in Our Stars, that's about the two kids with cancer.
Oh, The Fault in Our Stars.
Yes, that actress. Well, she's got like really short hair in that movie. Really cute.
Shailene Woodley, I think is her name.
Shailene Woodley. Yeah, she was gonna play Mary Jane. And there's scenes
Oh,
of her of on the Blu-ray. You can watch deleted scenes of her in class as MJ.
would have been really interesting to see. I wonder why they didn't actually flesh that out in the film.
Right, definitely.
There's a lot to go into those films,
Okay,
and
he's not.
he did the first or he did the two Amazing Spider-Man films. I know that.
Okay, he's got 78 credits below in directing, and I can't get IMDb to cooperate to bring them all up. John Watts. Okay, that's who it was. John Watts made those three films. I'm gonna read the liner notes from the inside of the Spider-Man 2. Of course, they're written on black against blue, so I gotta take my glasses off and get really close.
Oh, perfect.
Let's start a band. It was Han's idea, a reaction to merging a contemporary aesthetic into a classical character. I want Spider-Man to participate in the real world. I want him to listen to Ramones and Dylan, Farrell and Kendrick Lamar. He's a
Lamar,
kid. Yeah, and he's a participant in pop culture. Do you know who that is, Kendrick Lamar?
Kendrick, yeah, that was the rapper that we referred to
Okay,
earlier.
that's right. So rather than simply plucking some songs from the radio, we decided to invent our own. Music is only one part of Hans Zimmer's profound talent. He's also talented at people. He can get on the phone with Johnny Mort, Farrell, Mike Enzinger, Junkie XL, and get them into a single room and just jam. Who else in the world can do that? Probably John Williams if he tried, but John Williams is just a composer. For days on end, or maybe Danny Elfman. These musicians experimented, jammed, talked, wrote, and laughed their way into a handful of songs. Hans then arranged and hammered the chord progressions and melodies into a score. Johnny Mayer, a sesematic Spider-Man fan, ripped open guitar parts and suddenly made Spider-Man a kid again in a space of 15 minutes. Farrell wrote a song about nature of failing and a powerful motive of both falling in love and falling in space, and became Peter and Gwen's love theme, which we will play right here. Stop. And back to the liner notes. Mikey invented some strange sound from his guitar, which gave Electro a sinister power, while Farrell invented the voices inside Max's head. Yeah, so one of the tracks on here, by the way, has Zimmer's score, and then you can hear all these voices like over the score. Did you catch that?
I did.
I could go on and on and on, and truthfully, I'm only in the mixing stage, putting the final touches on the movie, pushing the music levels just a little hotter, and I don't have any more time to write. So I'll end up saying that we're going to listen in on the disc is a purified version of the score. Inspiration ranged from a Purcell opera to dubstep. Yes, there's a lot of dubstep influence in this film. It's a magnificent work of an incredible group of musicians coming together because, like me, they all love Spider-Man. Now, sorry, I have to go back to work. Pietro is yelling at me. And then in the back they have like various pictures of people composing, working on the music, the entire full orchestra playing to the Spider-Man music. I would love to go through all the credits. You can check them online of everyone who is part of this Magnificent Six orchestra. It's incredible. Oh, sorry, the Magnificent Six themselves is Michael Enzinger, Junkie XL, Andrew, Johnny Mayer, Steve Mazzaro, and Pharrell Williams. So that's the Magnificent Seven Six that we get in the movie.
Yeah, so those are the guys that so Pharrell Williams is a member of that. That's interesting because he's also an artist here just on his own song because he has the track here on the second disc. I
Right.
think that's second disc. Yeah, that would be on the second disc. But I know he's a big time producer as well, and he does a lot of different stuff. So that is interesting to hear that he's in that group.
And then the track notes are almost identical in the regular CD version. It's just again they have those extra pages added in for all of the extra music that they have. It's definitely, I think, worth just picking up the one cardboard case with the shiny electro lightning on it. The two disc set. Sorry, that's how I should have referred to it earlier. The two disc set
Yeah,
versus the
right.
single set. I remember when this two disc set came out, it was like $30 or $40, whereas the regular CD was maybe like $12. So I passed on it until I found it on eBay for $8.99 sealed. I was just like, buy.
Oh, that is a
But
steal.
as far as I'm aware, do you remember last time we talked about how The Amazing Spider-Man just had a vinyl record release on Record Store Day?
Yes, I
And
remember
The
that.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 does not have a vinyl record release. However, the next five Spider-Man movies, including Miles Morales' two animated films, all have vinyl record releases.
I really wonder why they didn't want to do that with this one.
Well, maybe we're not there yet, but it's a good time that we're covering this because that's when this movie came out, 10 years ago. So we're at the 10th anniversary of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
It'd be now's a good time.
Yeah, it's the 10th anniversary of The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and the 20th anniversary of Spider-Man 2.
Jesus, that makes me feel really old.
Does it?
Yeah, just thinking about it, it's like 10 years ago. Oh my God.
Here's a couple of quick fact pieces of information about it. Reviews of the score were mostly all positive, better than the actual film itself. Can you name two other movies that had incredible scores and soundtracks, but the movies were pretty much trashed?
I was gonna say Suicide Squad, but I can't remember if the score was or what songs were on that score besides that purple Lamborghini song, which I wasn't a big fan of. But I know Suicide Squad, the first one, didn't do so hot in the box office.
Right. I want to say The Queen of the Damned had an incredible soundtrack, which people still love to this very day, but the movie is
Yes.
garbage. The Scorpion King.
Oh. That's some prime CGI right there.
Yeah, no, you're thinking of The Mummy Returns, which had crappy CGI.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's correct. That's correct. Yes.
There's a good little post here from I'll see who wrote this in a second. There's strong hints of earlier scores like Inception in this movie. Now, Inception had come out before The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I think Inception came out in 2010 or 2011.
Yeah.
I know that was the film between The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. I need to know, but is it Zimmer after all? And they rarely do we hear a score that has him totally void of earlier Zimmerisms. I absolutely love that cue. You're the spider guy must be the ending theme or something because it feels like that kind of cue. Yes, that's the you're that spider guy is the ending to the movie. And I do absolutely love that. Who wrote that quote? Soundtrack Geeks, which I didn't know that was a website. That's cool.
Okay, cool.
They also point out how this is a lot of this music and this is very much like Zimmer's version of dubstep.
Yeah, there's a lot of like low bassy, definitely the wobbles, like in the scene where Electro and Spider-Man first face off and he throws Spider-Man right against that, was a cop car. You get that first sort of like, just low bass kind of hit, and
Right.
definitely really, really reminiscent of like dubstep and
Yeah.
Skrillex.
Do you remember what other comic book movie mentions dubstep, but in a kind of a negative way?
I want to say it was Deadpool, but I don't know if I'm
It
correct with
was
that one.
yeah, you're right. It's Deadpool 2. It's when he's fighting Cable.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Good stuff. Do you have any other notes or thoughts about any of the bands on here or the music by Hans Zimmer for The Amazing Spider-Man 2?
I really loved Alicia Keys' song, It's On Again. I'm personally just a big fan of Alicia Keys, and I do like Kendrick Lamar, so that's probably my favorite song on the whole soundtrack.
Am I right or wrong? Is Alicia Keys also the singer-songwriter that teams up with Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails fame?
Ooh, I don't think so. Unless that's not some there's a track I'm not familiar with, but no, I'm not aware if they had a collaboration together. I know she collaborates with a lot of different artists. Like, I mean, over the years, there's been Kanye West and artists like that. But no, I wasn't familiar with any Trent Reznor collabs. I am gonna have to look into that though, just in case.
Yeah, let me look at it really quick.
So I know Trent Reznor did some work on the Pixar film that came out. I'm trying to remember the name of the film. Soul. Yeah, he did some of the score on that. No, I'm not sure if he did a song with Alicia Keys.
All right, give me one second. I'm gonna look it up right now. No, okay, it's Karen O and Trent Reznor worked together on the Immigrant cover.
Oh yeah, that's Karen O. She's from the band the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Okay, all right. For some reason, someone told me that was Alicia Keys, and I was like, "What? Really?" But yeah, no, they did the that incredible. By the way, I think it's an incredible cover for Immigrant. Did you see Kung Fu Panda 4?
That was the most recent one that came out.
Right, there's a cover of Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time. I'm like, why would anyone cover this? Good God. But we're about to lose the Zoom call, so why don't you plug where people can find you?
All right. You can find me anywhere if you search Our Frankenstein. We're on Instagram at Our Frankenstein, or you can find us, our main hub, at ourfrankenstein.com.
And you can find me over on the Spidey Doo Radio Network, where I do my other show, the Sal Buscema Air Podcast, and all the other episodes of Web of Music. And we're going to be returning in April for Spider-Man Homecoming here on the Web of Music, the Spidey Doo Radio Network. Thank you, everyone. You can send me an email, thatradiohorror@gmail.com, for more information, or if you have anything you'd like to add about this episode that we may have missed in the time that we had. Thank you, everyone, and have a good night.
I am a freedom fighter, the name that history wrote, and even through disaster, I held the tiger for hope. I'm trying to find my way back. There's no day off for heroes, and even when I'm tired, go is the only word. And the night is taking over, and the moonlight gets exposure, and the players have been chosen, and it seems like they